Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is Soundcheck at 93.9 WNYC and online at WNYC.org. I'm John Schaefer. October 14th marked the 15th anniversary of the death of Leonard Bernstein, and in its wake has come a fresh wave of activity celebrating the late conductor and composer. Recordings of his classic performances are resurfacing after years of being out of print. Many films of his performances are now available on DVD for the first time. And a new position has been created at the New York Philharmonic, where he was, of course, music director from 1958 to 1969. It's the Leonard Bernstein Scholar in Residence. Joining us today is Jamie Bernstein Thomas, the daughter of Leonard Bernstein and a writer, musician, and broadcaster herself. Jamie, welcome back to Soundcheck.
Delighted to be here.
So, first of all, why do you think it is that 15 years after his passing, your father still captures the broader public's imagination in the way that he does?
Well, you know, I guess no one else has come along that is quite like him. He was a syzygy, you know. He was such a unique coincidence of elements. It doesn't seem to be able to be repeated. Not only was he a conductor, but he was also a composer. In addition to that, he was this fabulous educator, and he was media savvy, and he came along just as television came along, and that was a marriage made in heaven.
Well, now that you've gotten right off the bat into a territory that is just worth mining, I think, for a few minutes, because your father, Leonard Bernstein, seemed to just have an instinct for the visual media, even though he was ostensibly working in the audio realm. I mean, so all of this spate of DVDs really is showing Bernstein in his element.
It's true. Well, of course, a lot of people my age grew up watching the Young People's Concerts, and so that's really how Bernstein became so famous for an entire generation, because everyone across the nation used to watch him on TV.
Mm-hmm.
So it seemed only natural later on that he would record his grown-up concerts as well.
Right. So, I mean, what does it say about, you know, the potential of classical music as a visual medium, the still untapped potential that, you know, here we are talking about things that were recorded 25, 35 years ago, and there's nothing like that happening now?
Yeah, I can't speak for the world of classical music and why it seems to be in a sort of a rut. There is a lot of activity out there, actually. There are things going on, but it is true that to watch a Bernstein performance on DVD of him conducting Beethoven's first piano concerto from the piano, that's still pretty hot stuff.
Yeah, yeah. And you're right. I mean, there are other things happening, of course, but to capture the broader public imagination, not just the savvy classical music listeners, but the broader public, the way your father did, that does not seem to be really happening in the way that the Young People's Concerts did.
It's true. And of course, he was such a bridge builder. He had no sense of boundaries between the concert hall and the Broadway pit or stage. And, you know, that was such an easy transition for him. And that seems to be a harder transition for his successors.
Yeah. Now, we started hearing a little bit of Trouble in Tahiti, a full-length DVD of which has just been issued as part of a set of 9 DVDs by this New Jersey-based company called Kultur. Some of these were performances from the 70s.
Yeah, they run a pretty wide span of years. It's a collecting of many disparate performances that were videotaped here and there.
Well, now let me ask you, I mean, apart from, you know, your work as a musician and a broadcaster, you're Bernstein's daughter. What is it like for you to see your dad, you know, just resurrected everywhere like this? You turn on, you put the thing in the machine, and there's Dad. What's that like?
Well, It's better than not having him there at all.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you know, what I really miss, of course, is the hugs, and they cannot be reproduced. But in the absence of the hugs, I don't mind, you know, seeing him around in other ways and hearing his music being performed all the time and seeing his picture popping up in the newspaper. That's kind of fun.
Mm-hmm. He did pop up in newspapers and on TV, and you mentioned the young people's concerts. And one of the things that this company, Kultur, has been reissuing are some of the Norton lectures that,
yes,
that he did at Harvard University and some of the young people's concerts. Why don't we listen to a brief clip? This is Leonard Bernstein from one of the young people's concerts from the new DVD set.
And here is Leonard Bernstein.
My dear young friends, I am happy and proud to welcome you to our 10th season of Young People's Concerts. Imagine, it's been a whole decade we've been playing and talking about music. My 14-year-old daughter, Jamie, happened to ask me one day why a certain Beatles song had such funny harmony. She couldn't seem to find the right chords for it on her guitar. And I began to explain to her that the song was modal. That is, it was based on what is called a mode. And I went on to show her the chords that came from that mode, and she got so excited, she wanted to know more and more about it, till finally she said, why not tell all this on a young people's program? Nobody ever heard of it. And believe it or not, most of the jazz and Afro-Cuban music and rock and roll tunes we hear owe their very existence to this old Mixolydian mode, like this Cuban riff. That's just Mixolydian. Now, do you hear how that lowered seventh note makes that jazz sound? Of course, the examples I could give you are endless, but just to take a recent smash hit. My baby does the hanky-panky. Mixolydian. Could you believe it? Or do you remember a really terrific song, a barbaric number of a few years ago, sung by a group known as the Kinks? It's called You Really Got Me. Girl, you really got me going. You got me so I can't sleep at night.
Yeah. The one and only Leonard Bernstein from his Young People's Concerts, a little smattering of excerpts. Kultur, the name of the company, has been reissuing these talks on DVD. And we're speaking with Jamie Bernstein Thomas, the aforementioned, the erstwhile 14-year-old daughter who, at age 14, was already programming, apparently, these Young People's Concerts for your dad.
And who is on the floor right now listening to that old one. It's great.
That is just, I mean, to hear Bernstein singing You Really Got Me.
Well, that just tells you everything about the guy. He just didn't make distinctions between different kinds of music. If they got him, if they really got him, he was happy to share.
So he, you know, there he is at the piano. He's pounding out the Kinks on the piano. And then he mounts the podium and he's leading, an incendiary performance of a Mahler symphony. It's the same guy, the same enthusiasm. I guess that's really, I mean, I asked you at the beginning, why are we still talking about him 15 years after he's passed? That electricity was something that he was very good at conveying.
Right. Well, you know, they don't call him a conductor for nothing. I've always thought that it was like, it's like an electrical circuit, you know, and a really good conductor can really convey the energy around in that circle from the music that's being performed to the audience and back around again.
Mm-hmm. And in fact, Deutsche Grammophon has issued the complete Mahler symphonies with Leonard Bernstein conducting on 9 more DVDs. Even you, Jamie, have to be losing count of all the DVDs and CD reissues and box sets that are coming out now.
Yeah, that's the problem we like to be having.
Yeah, yeah, it's better than the reverse. Now, one of the other things that has come out is the New York Philharmonic's Bernstein Live compilation, which runs to, I think, 10 or 11 CDs. And we're actually, during this membership drive, using the sort of selection CD, the single CD taken from this 10 CD set as a thank you gift. On this is the world premiere of the Ives Symphony No. 2. So your father championed, you know, a composer like Mahler, who was a great symphonist and whose star had sort of slid a bit for a while, and also a champion of a composer like Ives, who was still considered to be kind of difficult.
It's true. Back in the 60s, I mean, by now, we're all so used to Charles Ives and so proud of him as our American composer, we forget that not that long ago, Charles Ives was considered a weirdo in the corner. And so my dad did all of us a great service by bringing him into the mainstream.
And the fact that, you know, he would do the world premiere of a Symphony No. 2, a symphony that had been written decades earlier and had sort of lain around unpublished, unperformed, shows that, you know, he wasn't just playing the hits either. He was going through archives and stuff.
Exactly. Well, he really was a scholar. There's that great story, I think it was about Ives hearing this symphony played for the first time on the radio. And he was so excited that Ives went and cut off his own beard in celebration.
Well, that's Leonard Bernstein leading the New York Philharmonic in the background, a little bit of the Ives Symphony No. 2, which Bernstein gave its world premiere in 1951. This is part of the 10-CD set by the New York Philharmonic called simply Bernstein Live. And we'll continue our conversation with Jamie Bernstein Thomas in just a moment. You're listening to Soundcheck. Well, this is Candide, the overture from Leonard Bernstein. This is also a ringtone. Yes, it's true. On top of all the DVDs and the CDs, you can now find Leonard Bernstein ringtones, 9 of them available at the website of his old publisher, Boozy and Hawks. Once again, this is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. My guest is Jamie Bernstein Thomas, writer, musician, broadcaster, the daughter of Leonard Bernstein. And what would your dad, media-savvy type that he was, have thought of Candide Overture as a ringtone?
Oh, he probably would have taken it in stride like he did all the other media things he did.
He might actually have composed or arranged a new piece for ringtones.
I bet he would have, actually.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Now, and it sure would have beat...
Now, there is so much going on. You know, you and the rest of the family are sort of running the Leonard Bernstein estate these days. Is it all hands on deck at this point? Is everybody just running as fast as they can?
There is so much to do all the time. There is a big team, and I just do a little bit on the side. I don't feel like I'm heavily involved on a day-to-day basis because I have so many projects of my own. But my brother and sister and I each have our areas that we dwell in.
Mm-hmm.
My brother runs the Family Foundation, and my sister was the one who got all the archives going with the Library of Congress and got them all online, so she's kind of the online savvy person.
Right.
And then I'm here. I am the mouthpiece.
Well, now, you mentioned the Library of Congress. Wasn't there a story that some tape of your father's was found on, like, a shelf unmarked in the Library of Congress, something like that?
What would that be?
I don't know. I seem to recall seeing something about that not too long ago. Anyway, that certainly sounds plausible enough given all of the material that's being reissued here.
It could happen.
The most recent CD to come out is part of the Milken Archives of American Jewish Music, and it features Leonard Bernstein's Chichester Psalms and the Kaddish, the Symphony No. 3. People forget, or maybe never even knew, that your father wrote symphonies in addition to conducting them.
Yeah, it's too bad that they're not better known because they're fabulous. And Kaddish Symphony No. 3 is kind of an odd duck because it has a lot of bells and whistles. It's problematic. It's a little gnarly. It has a lot of 12-tone passages, and it has a narration that's very bombastic. It has a lot of things in it that were hard for people to handle.
Mm.
But the music is gorgeous, really gorgeous.
And your father sort of wrestled with this piece himself for a while, didn't he?
He never stopped wrestling with it, and he wrestled with this narration so much that when somebody asked me to revise the narration, I thought that I would never get permission. And to my amazement, Harry Kraut, who was my father's manager and executor of the estate, said, oh, sure. I mean, Lenny was revising it all the time. I'm sure he wouldn't mind if somebody took another pass at it.
Oh, okay. I'm not sure we're going to hear any of the narration in this excerpt, but let's at least hear some of the music from the Symphony No. 3, Kaddish, by Leonard Bernstein, brand new release featuring Gerard Schwartz and the Royal Liverpool Philharmonic. Conductor Gerard Schwartz and the Royal Liverpool Philharmonic Choir and Orchestra, a new Naxos CD, part of their Milken Archive of American Jewish Music, featuring the works of Leonard Bernstein. That's from the Kaddish Symphony No. 3, paired, Jamie Bernstein Thomas, with your dad's Chichester Psalms as well.
Which is a perfect pairing because, really, Chichester Psalms ought to be thought of as the last movement of the Kaddish Symphony because the whole musical tangle that he's struggling with in the Kaddish Symphony is sort of resolved in a tonal way in Chichester Psalms.
Now, was the Kaddish Symphony, was that the piece that your father wrote after Kennedy's assassination, or he was in the process or something like
right.
that?
Right. He was writing it. He had just finished it when Kennedy was assassinated, and then he dedicated it to the dead president.
Now, I alluded before to some story about finding one of your father's performances on a shelf in the Library of Congress. Our crew on the ball informed me that that was, in fact, the Ives Symphony No. 2 that we were just hearing before. That
wow.
tape was found in the Library of Congress. So there you go. Leonard Bernstein is everywhere, even on unmarked shelves in the Library of Congress. Tell me a little bit about this Leonard Bernstein Scholar in Residence at the New York Philharmonic. What is that?
This is a wonderful thing. The fellow who is their first official scholar in residence is this guy, Charles Bornstein, who is brilliant. And he does this cool thing where he takes a score, say, of my dad's out of the shelf in the library at the New York Philharmonic. And it's my father's conducting score of, say, Beethoven 9, and it's all marked up with my father's markings, half are in blue and half are in red. He had these special pencils that were blue on one side and red on the other.
Hmm.
And the blue markings meant one thing and the red markings meant another, and they're fascinating to pore over. And Charles Bornstein has a lot to say about these markings and the interpretations that my father did of all these scores. Really interesting.
One of the most fascinating scores I've ever seen is in the archives of the New York Philharmonic. I think it's the Mahler First Symphony, which has Mahler's own markings, then Bruno Walter's markings, and then your father's markings on top of those markings. It's like every conductor approached this score in a completely different, very personal way.
Sedimentary layers of interpretation.
Absolutely, as musical archaeology. Now, your father mentioned you were 14, you were trying to figure out Beatles tunes on the guitar. You still playing Beatles tunes on the guitar?
For my kids when they were little, I did.
Okay.
But I still write my own tunes on guitar and piano.
All right, so that's still your instrument.
To the degree that I can play it at all, yes.
All right, we're speaking with Jamie Bernstein Thomas about the continuing legacy of Leonard Bernstein. And I guess for people who really want to just be up to date on everything that's happening, the website is the place to start. And there is a link to the Leonard Bernstein website through the soundcheck page of WNYC.org. Now, we're going to hear a little bit of Wagner's Götterdämmerung from this New York Philharmonic set. This is apparently a bootleg. I mean, this was somebody came into the, you know, Avery Fisher Hall with with a microphone and a cassette deck.
Thank God for those pirates, you know. What would we do without them all?
Well, now, I'm sort of asking you retrospectively to sort of imagine what your father would have done. Well, what would he have thought? You know, this bootleg thing is kicking around. Would he have just have thought this is probably the best use for it?
You know, in the end, he just wanted everything to get out there all the time. So yeah, he would have cared maybe not at all that it wasn't done in through the proper channels. I think that just wasn't really what he cared about that much.
Okay.
That's why he had managers.
Right.
They would care, but he wouldn't.
As long as it got out there. I mean, on TV, you know, or now on DVD, you know, the energy, the education, I mean, it's all there, the music, of course, on DVD, on CD. Let's dip into this Bernstein Live set from the archives of the New York Philharmonic. And actually, before we do, Jamie Bernstein, Thomas, always a pleasure to have you here on Soundcheck. And I know it's a very busy time, yet again, for the whole family with all of these DVDs and CDs coming. So thanks for joining us today.
It's great to be here always.
Wagner's Götterdämmerung from circa 1970. Yeah.